Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, July 28th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the CDC issues new sweeping guidelines in the battle against the pandemic. Team coverage straight ahead.
COVID is also a key focus as the Fed makes a policy decision today.
Apple, Microsoft, and Alphabet report record profits. Stay tuned for reaction and analysis.
Gripping testimony from four Capitol Police officers during a House committee hearing on the January 6th insurrection. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Aaron Sports. The Yankees won at Tampa Bay. The Mets lost to the Braves, and Simone Biles has now withdrawn from a second Olympics event.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
I'm Amy Morris. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by IBKR, the professional's gateway to the world's markets. Their clients enjoy lowest cost access to stocks, options, futures, forex, and fixed income from a single integrated account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
It is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 8.5 points. Dow futures are a little changed. NASDAQ futures are up 40 points. 10-year Treasury is down 4/32, yield 1.25%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.20%. And NYMEX crude is up 1% at $72.39 a barrel. Amy?
Nathan, we'll have more on the markets and corporate earnings in just a moment. But first, we get the latest on new sweeping guidelines from the CDC. Officials tightening pandemic restrictions as the Delta variant spreads. We have Bloomberg Radio team coverage on the very latest, beginning live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Amy. The CDC says fully vaccinated people should go back to wearing masks indoors in places where coronavirus cases are soaring. Director Rochelle Walensky is also recommending masks in schools.
In rare occasions, some vaccinated people infected with the Delta variant after vaccination may be contagious and spread the virus to others.
CDC Director Walensky says the decision to readopt masks has not been taken lightly. While it may not be popular, she says it's necessary. I'm Renita Young in New York. We continue our team coverage now with John Tucker on new guidelines for federal workers.
Renita, President Biden will likely announce a requirement for federal workers to get vaccinated or face strict mask and testing protocols.
The more we learn about this virus and the Delta variation, the more we have to be worried and concerned.
After visiting the office of the Director of National Intelligence in Virginia, the president told reporters a vaccine mandate for federal workers is under consideration. Just over 69% of American adults have had at least one shot, still short of the 70% goal Biden set for the country to meet by July 4th. It looks like masks are also coming back to the White House. Ann Kate says more on that story from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The Biden administration is requiring everyone on the White House campus to comply with the mask rule regardless of vaccination status. According to a memo sent to White House workers, Washington, D.C. has been recently classified as having a substantial level of community transmission. The top doctor for the U.S. House has also reimposed a mask-wearing requirement for lawmakers and all others while they are in the chamber and in hallways and offices. Those who don't may be subject to fines. In Washington, Ann Cates, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ann, thank you, along with John Tucker and Renita Young, for all those reports. Up next, the pandemic is in focus for the Fed today. The Delta variant is likely to loom large in today's policy decision from the central bank. We get more from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
In June, Fed officials took note of the declining COVID case rate in talking about prospects for the economy improving. The question today is how much downside risk they attribute to the COVID rebound. Will it slow growth enough to slow inflation? That's the other big issue. The inflation rate has only increased since their last meeting, complicating the central banker's "it's only temporary" message. More and more analysts and investors are suggesting they speed up tapering. Chairman Jay Powell will try to reassure them without moving markets. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. We'll have live coverage of the Fed decision in a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance coming up today at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Meantime, on Capitol Hill, there is news this morning on infrastructure negotiations. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the two sides are getting closer to a deal. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has that story.
There are several sticking points, transit and broadband, but Schumer sounds really hopeful.
If an agreement can be reached, and I'm very optimistic and hopeful it will be, senators should prepare to work through the weekend in order to finish the bipartisan infrastructure bill.
Schumer says good progress has been made. Republican Senator Rob Portman, who's working on the bill, also sounded optimistic, but then refers back to the transit discussions. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Ed. Let's get to the earnings picture now. We're seeing mixed reaction to a record $57 billion in combined profit from Apple, Microsoft, and Alphabet. Let's begin with Apple. Shares are down 1% after the company warns sales growth is slowing and supplies are tightening. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
On the conference call, Apple said that supply constraints will affect the iPhone and iPad in the current quarter. Decelerating demand for services also will drive the slowdown. The cautious remarks followed a sales gain of 36% in the third quarter, with revenue of $81.4 billion that shattered Wall Street's $73.8 billion estimate. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Charlie. And on the flip side, shares of Alphabet are up more than 3%. The Google owner beat estimates for profit and revenue, cementing its status as the world's most potent advertising engine. Revenue at Alphabet's cloud unit also outperformed, rising 54%.
Microsoft shares are up about 0.5% in early trading. The company had a robust quarter, but there are concerns its cloud business is slowing down. Ed Ludlow has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The software giant's Azure cloud unit saw sales growth of 45% in the quarter, stripping out currency fluctuations. But that represents a drop from the prior period and left investors disappointed. But it wasn't all gloomy. Microsoft's overall sales and profit beat expectations for a 10th straight quarter, and executives said demand remains healthy. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Ed. And in Europe this morning, shares of Deutsche Bank are up more than 4%. The German lender weathered a slump in fixed income trading and raised its guidance. Shares of Barclays are also outperforming, up almost 5%. The British bank posted its best quarter for banking fees since Jes Staley took over as CEO in 2015. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. 6:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr now to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. Former President Donald Trump's top allies could face subpoenas in a House committee's investigation into the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Yesterday's hearing centered on gripping testimony from four officers who helped defend the Capitol during the including Officer Harry Dunn, who was black. Dunn, who testified he was called racial slurs by the rioters, was asked if what he saw is America.
To answer your question, frankly, I guess it is America. It shouldn't be, but I guess that's the way that things are. I don't condone it. I don't like it.
Officer Harry Dunn, seven Democrats and only two Republicans served on the committee, including Representative Liz Cheney.
The investigation is going to go wherever it may lead. And obviously, the events of that day at the White House are a focus, and making sure that we get to the bottom of everything that went on. Every minute of the day is something the American people deserve.
Cheney called the hearing an important opportunity to get some facts on the table. Last week, Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy withdrew the GOP nominees after Speaker Nancy Pelosi denied the appointments of Representative Jim Jordan and Representative Jim Banks. Representative Pete Sessions says that Republicans wanted to take part in this committee but felt that the Speaker overstepped her bounds by rejecting their picks.
It is not right to deny our opportunity for people who would be able to effectively not just understand what happened, but be able to argue the facts of the case.
Sessions spoke to ABC. President Joe Biden will travel to a truck factory in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania today to advocate for government investments and clean energy as ways to strengthen U.S. manufacturing. A tropical storm has dumped rain in parts of northern Japan. There has been little of the disruption to the Olympics that had been feared. A New Jersey town has dropped sanctions against a woman who got into hot water for displaying profane signs attacking President Joe Biden. A municipal court judge in Roselle Park had ordered Patricia DeLascio to remove the signs or face a $250 a day fine, citing an ordinance banning the display of obscene material. Delaskio appealed, and a Superior Court judge vacated the sanctions. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. 6:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Amy, the Mets hoping to add some reinforcement to their pitching staff. Carlos Carrasco, acquired in the offseason, has yet to make his Mets debut, but he might start Friday. The Mets are hoping Noah Syndergaard can make his season debut soon, and they may look to add a pitcher in a trade before the deadline. Last night, they started Jared Eichhoff. That did not go well. Atlanta led 10-0 in the fourth inning. Eichhoff gave up all 10. Three home runs, including a grand slam by the Braves' Austin Riley. Atlanta won 12-5. Washington beat the Phillies. The Mets are 3.5 ahead of the Phils and up 4 on the Braves. Yankees much-needed 4-3 win at Tampa Bay. Gio Urshela back to the COVID list. Two doubles, two RBIs. Jordan Montgomery, 5 scoreless innings for the win. Aroldis Chapman got the save. At the Olympics, easy win for U.S. men's basketball. Gold medal for Katie Ledecky, but the big story continues to be Simone Biles. Greatest gymnast ever. Tokyo was to be her send-off to retirement, but has that retirement already begun? She started but did not finish the team competition, has now withdrawn from the upcoming all-around. She admits to dealing with stress and pressure, was asked about advice she would give to others.
But mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. So it's okay sometimes to even sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself, because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are.
Ledecky's gold medal came in a swimming event that has always been her specialty but had never before been in the Olympics, the 1500 meters. The basketball victory was 120-66 over Iran. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, John. And checking Wall Street now, S&P futures up 7, Dow futures down 15, NASDAQ futures up 34. The 10-year, a little changed, really. 10-year yield at 1.25%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Hofstra University's Frank G. Zerb School of Business, top-ranked online MBA program with a real-world foundation. Learn more at HofstraMBA.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are turning mixed this morning. Positive earnings boosting sentiment for stocks for the most part, but Asian equities are weaker amid Chinese market turbulence. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are little change to the upside. Dow futures have turned lower. They're down 63 points now. NASDAQ futures still on the rise by 10 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 3/32. The yield 1.25%. Yield on the 2-year stands at 0.20%. NYMEX crude is pairing some of its gains. Now it's up 0.4% now at $71.92 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 70 cents at $18.04.70 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1812 against the dollar. The yen is at 109.93. Watching a headline cross the Bloomberg terminal, Citizens Financial to buy Investors Bank Corp in a cash and stock deal. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. Senators and the White House are working furiously to salvage a bipartisan infrastructure deal. Despite weeks of closed-door discussions, several issues are still unresolved. Republican Jake Elzey of Texas won a U.S. House seat last night over a rival backed by Donald Trump. Elzey got more than 53% of the vote over Republican Susan Wright, the widow of the late Representative Ron White, in a special congressional election runoff near Dallas. Simone Biles will not defend her Olympic title in Tokyo. The American gymnastics superstar has withdrawn from the all-around competition to focus on her mental well-being. Meanwhile, the U.S. leads the medal count with 30. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost along with the Orioles. The Nationals scored a victory along with the Giants. The A's lost. The Red Sox game was postponed. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 6:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we learn more about breakthrough infections and the spread of the Delta variant of the coronavirus, the CDC has updated its guidance on face masks in public settings. Joining us now, Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Dr. Ray, thank you for taking the time with us this morning. There are a lot of questions going on right now regarding this new guidance from the CDC. They're saying whether you're vaccinated or not, you should still be wearing masks, say if you're in school or in certain parts of the country while you're indoors. First of all, does this surprise you?
I'm not surprised, and it's great to be with you, Amy. This has been a series of learnings, and I think as cases rise and we look around the world at what's happened elsewhere, it's clear that we need to be very cautious as rates are increasing and hospitalizations and deaths certainly follow. So I think that this is an abundance of caution to try to blunt this rise before it really gets out of hand, as it did in Southwest Missouri.
Now, forgive my ignorance, but why would a vaccinated person have to wear a mask? Are people who are vaccinated still able to spread the virus?
They are able to get infected and presumably spread. They have positive tests. It's very uncommon to rare. The problem is we really need to try to stem all spread. And when people are around vulnerable people, like people who are working with small children, the vulnerable, it's much more important. It's certainly possible that the masking of vaccinated people will have a smaller impact than the masking of the unvaccinated. It's just so hard to manage that, and we really need to get this under control. And so this message seems like the best way to help people stem this rise.
It's also going to be hard to get people to put those masks back on after a year of wearing them, saying, okay, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear it anymore. And now, oh, well, maybe in some situations you are going to have to wear those masks again. Can you expect more pushback to this?
Well, I think that is possible. I also think, though, that when I was a young man, seatbelts were not the norm, and they've become the norm. We've gotten used to them, and they're not so troublesome. Masks are obtrusive because they cover the lower part of the face, but they don't interfere with our breathing. And they are things that many of us in the health profession have worn for many years for much of our day. They are something that we should probably get used to, at least in winter months, because they have had such a beneficial effect on other viruses as well. So I think that moving toward more consistent masking is probably not a bad thing in crowded indoor places, at least until we get this pandemic under control.
Well, that sounds to me like, especially if you're comparing it to something like seatbelts, which are ubiquitous, it sounds to me like masks are going to be here to stay, at least for a while.
I think it's something that we're going to be seeing, at least in winter months, and any time that there's a rise in cases of something like this coronavirus.
Do you anticipate a surge in cases and hospitalizations like what we saw last year at the height of the pandemic? Or can vaccinations sort of help, to use an old phrase now, flatten that curve?
Well, I think they can if we get a high enough rate. The problem is Delta has changed the math a little. And so if we look at Florida, their hospitalization rate right now is nearly what it was at peak last winter. So we're looking at a significant number of hospitalizations, and the people in the hospital are younger. Now, they may have a better prognosis than the older population that was in the hospital over the winter, but we're going to see deaths when we see a big rise in hospitalizations. So the vaccine has not made it to enough people to truly blunt these rises, and I think states like Florida are an object lesson in what can still happen even when we have half the population vaccinated.
And very briefly, about a half a minute here, but we're seeing now that the federal government may start requiring their employees and contractors to get vaccinated. Is that a trend you see continuing, that the requiring people to get vaccinated?
I do. I think that it's becoming increasingly clear that people who are unvaccinated are potential vectors of spread, and they put many people at risk. And because many people either can't respond to the vaccine, and there are some people who can't receive the vaccine, we have people who really have no way of being protected except through herd protection. Healthcare establishments are already requiring vaccination in many places, and I think the government doing this is just another step toward trying to protect our most vulnerable fellow citizens.
All right, Dr. Ray, thank you for your time this morning. Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Checking S&P futures up 1.25, Dow futures down 48, NASDAQ futures now up 11. Much more still to come on this Wednesday morning edition of Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg. And still to come on Bloomberg Daybreak, we're going to get the White House reaction to that updated CDC mask guidance. We'll be talking with Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. That's still to come. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good Wednesday morning. I'm Amy Morris.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away now from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. New sweeping guidelines this morning from the CDC as the Delta variant spreads. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita?
Nathan, the CDC says fully vaccinated people should go back to wearing masks indoors in places where coronavirus cases are soaring. The agency is also recommending masks in schools. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky says the decision to readopt masks has not been taken lightly. While it may not be popular, she says it's necessary. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Renita. New guidelines are also on the way to the White House, Congress, and government agencies. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with that story. John.
Amy, the White House has told staff they must again wear masks regardless of vaccination status. A memo says everyone needs to comply starting today. Meantime, the top doctor of the House of Representatives is reimposing mask requirements for lawmakers on the House floor. And finally, President Biden says he's weighing a requirement for all federal workers to get vaccinated or face strict protocols. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. You can expect the rising Delta variant to figure into today's policy decision from the Federal Reserve. More on that from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
It sounds like science fiction, but it's central banking, the impact of a deadly mutation of the coronavirus on America's economy. Bloomberg Economics says Delta variant infections suggest heightened attention on downside economic risks. Today's Fed forecast, no change, a benchmark interest rate near zero, the current pace of asset purchases. But there could be 2022 tapering talk. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Vinny. Turning to earnings now, we're seeing Apple shares down about 1%. The iPhone maker is warning sales growth may slow and supplies are getting tight. The outlook follows a record-setting third quarter from CEO Tim Cook.
We set a new June quarter revenue record of $81.4 billion, up 36% from last year, and the vast majority of markets we track grew double digits.
CEO Tim Cook says Apple still expects strong double-digit growth in the fourth quarter.
Alphabet shares are up almost 4%. The Google owner beat estimates for profit and revenue, and its cloud unit outperformed as well.
And shares of Microsoft are up about 0.5%. Results topped estimates for a 10th straight quarter.
S&P futures are up a point. Dow futures down 55 points now. NASDAQ futures up 14. Straight ahead, we've got your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Nathan. 6:33 on Wall Street. We're bringing in Michael Barr now to tell us what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. Former President Donald Trump's top allies could face subpoenas in a House committee's investigation into the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. Yesterday's public hearing centered on gripping testimony from four officers who helped defend the Capitol against a violent mob of Trump supporters. Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn, who was black, told lawmakers about an exchange he had with rioters who disputed that President Joe Biden defeated Trump in the last presidential election.
No one had ever, ever called me a while wearing the uniform of a Capitol Police officer.
Officer Harry Dunn, former President Trump, once called the mob a loving crowd and a love fest. Capitol Police Sergeant Aquilino Gunnell called Trump's comment a pathetic excuse for something that he helped to create.
I'm still recovering from those hugs and kisses that day that he claimed that so many rioters, terrorists, were assaulting us that day.
Goodell says Trump's comments were insulting. Congressman Adam Kinzinger, one of just two Republicans willing to serve on the committee, became emotional as he praised the officers for their heroism.
You know, democracies are not defined by our bad days. We're defined by how we come back from bad days, how we take accountability for that.
Kinzinger also defended sitting on the committee, saying self-governance is at stake. Police have arrested a Maryland man and charged him for making death threats against Dr. Anthony Fauci and his family. Investigators say Thomas Patrick Connolly Jr. emailed Dr. Fauci with threats. President Biden is once again talking with members of a bipartisan group of lawmakers who are trying to come to a consensus on an infrastructure funding bill. The president met with Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema, a Democrat, about the progress. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says both believe an agreement can be reached.
They are very much aligned on the path forward. Both feel optimistic about the path forward.
Psaki also says the Biden administration is taking steps to help with Afghans who were translators and contractors to get visas as the U.S. pulls troops out of Afghanistan. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Amy, after losing 3 of 4 in Boston, two of them with blown leads late in the games, the Yankees at Tampa Bay, and this time able to hold on. They led the Rays 3-0. Jordan Montgomery, 5 scoreless innings. Gio Urshela drove in 2, but Chad Green gave up a 2-run homer. Zach Britton allowed a run in the 8th, and Aroldis Chapman did put the tying run on in the 9th. But the Yanks able to beat the Rays 4-3. The Mets lost at Citi Field to the Braves 12-5. Atlanta led 10-0 in the 4th inning. 2-run homers by Ozzie Albies and Anthony Abraham. And then a grand slam by Austin Riley. All of it off of Jared Eichhoff. Two more players tested positive for COVID. Milwaukee's Christian Yelich and Washington's Trey Turner, who learned of it during the Nats game. The Nats' Steven Strasburg will have season-ending neck surgery, only pitched 5 games this year. After starting but not finishing the Olympic team gymnastics competition, Simone Biles has now taken herself out of tomorrow's all-around event, citing stress and pressure. She admitted her goal now is not gold medals, but her well-being. Next week, all of the individual events, it's not known if Biles will be in them. A little more like it for the U.S. men's basketball team after that loss to France, the first U.S. defeat in 17 years, a 120-66 dismantling of Iran. Katie Ledecky finished an uncharacteristic 5th of the 200-meter freestyle, but she returned to win gold in the first-ever 1,500-meter swim. Aaron Rodgers showed up for Green Bay Packers training camp after all of the threats that he would not. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Amy.
All right, thank you, John. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. For that, we are joined by Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Amy. We've got to start with those big tech companies that reported results late yesterday. Apple front and center. Its shares are down 1.2% in early trading. The iPhone maker said parts shortages will affect production of the smartphones and iPad tablets in the fiscal fourth quarter, and sales growth may be slowing. Apple down, even though third quarter results beat estimates. Microsoft higher, not all that much, though, just 0.3%. The software maker posted fiscal fourth quarter profit and sales that beat estimates. Thing is, though, signs of slowing growth at the cloud computing service Azure caused some concern among investors.
Well, Dave, there's another big tech company, Alphabet, that also put out results late yesterday. How was that doing?
Better. Let's put it that way. The owner of Google and YouTube up 4% in early trading. Second quarter revenue jumped 61% as retail advertising surged, and sales and earnings were well above projections. And this week's run of big tech earnings will continue after the close today. Results are due from the social media company Facebook, and its shares are up 1.5% in advance of those results. Visa down 1%. The payment network declined to provide fiscal year forecasts even after third quarter results beat projections. And since we're talking finance, we should note Investors Bank Corp up 5.5%. The New Jersey-based lender accepted a takeover offer from Citizens Financial. The deal is valued at $3.5 billion in cash and stock. Back to earnings. Advanced Micro Devices up 2%. The chipmaker's third quarter forecast for sales and profitability were higher than analysts expected. And second quarter results surpassed estimates as well. Mondelez International, though, down 1%. The food maker reaffirmed a cash flow forecast for this year that was lower than projections. Starbucks is off 2.5%. The coffee shop owner cut its fiscal year forecast for Chinese sales, which trailed estimates in the third quarter. Now, China is Starbucks' key market outside the U.S. And then you have Teladoc Health down 8%. The telemedicine provider and stay-at-home stock gave an earnings forecast for the third quarter that trailed projections. Spotify's down 2%. The streaming music service added 9 million monthly active users in the second quarter. That was less than the company itself forecast. Mattel, though, 5.5% higher in early trading. The toy maker posted its first profit for the second quarter since 2015. Sales rose 40%, beating estimates. And as far as today goes, Amy, quarterly results are due shortly from two of the biggest U.S. drug makers, Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer. We also get results from two companies in the Dow Industrials, the playmaker Boeing and restaurant owner McDonald's.
All right, Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you so much for joining us, Dave. Looking at stocks as a whole ahead of the open, S&P futures up nearly 2, Dow futures down 44, NASDAQ futures up 17.5. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. Checking weather, partly sunny today, a chance of afternoon showers. We'll see 85 degrees. Showers will end tonight, but the clouds will linger as we go down to 65. Cloudy tomorrow with afternoon showers going up to 80. It's 69 degrees at Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are mixed this morning as we continue to watch earnings roll in. Let's head right over to the First Word Breaking News Desk for today's morning call. Good morning, Bill Maloney.
And good morning, Nathan. That's right. U.S. futures are trading mixed right now, with Dow futures down 37 points. S&Ps are higher by 3, and NASDAQ futures rise by 22. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.25%. Gold is little change. Bitcoin is surging up 5%. And Japan fell 1.4% overnight. Well, European markets are in the green this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, trade balance and wholesale inventories. At 2 o'clock, the FOMC rate decision. And at 2:30, Powell begins his press conference. After the bell last night, Apple warned that sales may slow. Microsoft beat estimates. And Google's sales growth was turbocharged by its ad business. Regarding some of the earnings this morning, Pfizer just beat estimates, and look for Boeing and McDonald's to report in the pre-market. In deal news, Avery Dennison to buy Vestcom in a $1.45 billion cash deal. And wrapping things up, Chewy was rated a new outperform over at Robert Baird. MGM Resorts raised to neutral over at Goldman Sachs. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan?
Okay, Bill, thanks. And hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A, go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. The CDC returned to tighter guidelines for the use of masks, advising that fully vaccinated individuals wear them in public indoor settings where the virus is spreading rapidly. President Joe Biden said he's weighing a requirement for federal workers to get vaccinated. The UK government is set to allow visitors from the US and the European Union to travel to England without needing to quarantine on arrival if they have been fully vaccinated. Simone Biles will not defend her Olympic title in Tokyo. The American gymnastics superstar has withdrawn from the all-around competition to focus on her mental well-being. Meanwhile, the U.S. leads the medal count at 30 with 10 gold. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost along with the Orioles. The Nationals scored a victory along with the Giants. The A's lost. The Red Sox game was postponed. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Wall Street and Warren Buffett miss the good old days. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Two large M&A transactions have been called off as President Biden galvanizes U.S. regulators to take a more prohibitive stance on corporate consolidation. This week, a pair of insurance brokerages gave up on their $30 billion merger after it was challenged by the Justice Department. Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway also recently canceled its purchase of some Dominion Energy pipeline assets, citing the risk of similar pushback by the Federal Trade Commission. But where the greatest number of deals may begin to fall apart is not in Monday morning news headlines, as these did, but quietly in the boardroom before they ever reach the public eye. That chilling effect on deal-making is unwelcome news for banks, which have been riding high on an eight-year M&A boom that delivered some $22 trillion of deals. CEOs, amid years of pressure to buy their biggest competitors, will now need a new playbook. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios. It is 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden promising a summer of joy back on July 4th, but the Delta variant infections are on the rise. The president also says he's weighing a requirement for federal workers to get vaccinated. This as lawmakers investigate the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Former President Trump could be facing questioning. We'll talk about all of these stories now. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joins us now. Emily, good morning to you. Thanks again for joining us. First, let's talk about the summer of joy. And you and I talked about this before the president made that declaration and how it kind of could be risky, a little blowback there. Does the president now face a political backlash over the Delta variant surges?
It definitely, President Biden has spent basically his first 6 months in office very much focused on the coronavirus, on making sure that the U.S. was getting out vaccines, everyone was getting back to normal. They were very big with their deadlines. They love setting deadlines, making goals, and July 4th was a big one for them. And yes, I mean, Amy, at this point, I mean, obviously the Biden administration doesn't really control the virus or the variants. But the idea that we had sort of gotten out of the woods is now being walked back a bit. We are seeing masks again. We're seeing the Biden administration consider vaccine mandates. They've already put one in place over at the Veterans Affairs Department. And there is a sense that, you know, now having the White House mask up, having these hotspot areas mask up could potentially be interpreted as a step back in the idea that America is on the road to recovery from this virus.
Let's talk about what you just mentioned, requiring federal employees and contractors to get that vaccine. Now, that hasn't happened yet, but there are rumblings about it. If the White House does decide to do this, what signal does that send?
I think for the White House, the signal that it sends is that we're just simply not out of the woods yet, that this Delta variant is serious, that it poses a serious threat because of how infectious it is, and that additional precautions do need to be taken to make sure that people are remaining safe and healthy. But, you know, Amy, I've talked to some lawmakers yesterday just sort of about the vaccines and masks in general, and a lot of them kind of showed a real resistance to the idea that they would need to mask back up again. A lot of them said, you know what, I'm vaccinated, I'm already protected. I'm not going to be hospitalized if you look at sort of the rate of hospitalizations. So I would expect there definitely, if we're seeing this from lawmakers, you know, they obviously reflect their constituents, and I expect there to be a wider pushback to this idea that we need to start wearing masks again, especially after a number of people have already taken the vaccine.
Right. The White House is telling staff that they have to mask up again at that complex. And what the White House seems to be doing is going above and beyond the CDC requirement, which has, you know, it has parameters around it. It depends on where you are and who you're with and that sort of thing. And I'm wondering if the White House is sending sort of a message of we're going to go above and beyond until we can get this virus in check.
Well, I should point out that Washington, D.C., it has been classified as having a substantial level of community transition. Obviously, within the White House, you are inside a building. And so there's definitely that. I mean, yes, President Biden has, you know, tried to make sure that he's sort of been cognizant about, you know, back when before the mask regulatory guidelines were lifted, about wearing masks, about sort of taking those additional steps needed to encourage people to sort of follow his example in a way and comply with the CDC guidance. I mean, it's just, I think at this point, we're all sort of in a wait and see pattern, right? Mm-hmm. Wait and see what happens with the Delta variant, wait and see what happens with potential other strains of the variant, like the Lambda strain. And what is that actually going to look like? I think in a big sense, we're still living in a pandemic society and trying to figure out just sort of what the next steps are.
And very briefly, we've been talking about the House committee public hearing about the January 6th riot on Capitol Hill. Just want to ask you about 30 seconds. What are you watching for in the coming hearings from that?
Yesterday was a really emotional testimony from four police officers who defended the Capitol against the rioters. But as one lawmaker pointed out to me, you know, yesterday was a lot of emotion, but we didn't get to a lot of questions, a lot of grilling, a lot of, you know, what happened? Why wasn't the National Guard there sooner? How is this allowed to happen in the first place? And so I think we're about to really get sort of into the meat of the investigation within the next several months. We heard Chairman Benny Thompson say that there's they might wind up calling members of the panel back from recess and do a hearing in August. So seems like they're very eager to get underway.
All right, Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. We're coming up on 6:56 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. Number one in the nation for student upward economic mobility and ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The U.S. rain is the best place to be in the COVID era. Didn't last long. The vaccination drive is stalled. There's a new surge in cases. Now, Norway is atop Bloomberg's COVID resilience ranking. The Scandinavian country has enough shots administered to cover almost half its population. Switzerland is second, followed by New Zealand. The U.S. is now number five. Quite the quarter for the big three. Apple, Microsoft, and Alphabet reported about $57 billion in combined quarterly profit, riding a resurgence in consumer and business spending. The world's largest tech companies have gotten larger at a torrid rate, with both Apple and Microsoft topping $2 trillion in market value. And looking to keep your phone safe from hackers, here's some advice from Senate Intelligence Committee Senator Angus King. Turn off your phone, then turn it back on. Experts say regularly rebooting your phone won't fully stop the army of cyber criminals, but it can make even the most sophisticated hackers work harder to maintain access and steal data from a phone. Kind of hard to do it when it's got no power. That's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. A little closer look at the earnings we got from Pfizer moments ago crossing the Bloomberg terminal. The drug maker beat on revenue and earnings and also sees its COVID-19 vaccine revenue jumping for the fiscal year from a earlier estimate of $26 billion to now $33.5 billion of revenue coming in from COVID vaccines for Pfizer. As for futures, they are mixed on this Wednesday morning. S&P futures up 2 points, Dow futures down 46. And NASDAQ futures are higher by 27 points. The 10-year Treasury down 3/32, the yield 1.25% ahead of today's Fed decision. Bloomberg Surveillance up next. For Amy Morris, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.